Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And to say that we're in difficult times is quite an understatement. It's confusing. And what is it all leading to? We don't know. And there are opportunities to find out more about the patterns that we're in. And patterns, we're always in patterns. And the opportunity is to learn about them and understand them so we can do a better job within these patterns. And right now, the patterns are very confusing. So to help us make sense of it is an author I've had on the show a number of times before. He has a new book out called The Nine Waves of Creation, Quantum Physics, Holographic Evolution, and the Destiny of Humanity. We want to know all about that. So let's welcome Carl Johan Kallman. Carl, welcome.
Thank you very much, Peter. Great to be back on your show. I so much appreciated last time to have the chance to develop my ideas, and so I'm looking forward to this as well.
Yes, me too. I'm so excited because this new book really helps us understand, let's call it the interference patterns, because that's what we're in. We're in a lot of interference.
Yeah.
And because what is good to understand is that the previous waves don't go away. They just keep switching back and forth between day and night. And nights have their own difficulties, and days, of course, have their own difficulties. So we want to learn more about all of these different waves. And the wave that we're now in is a new wave that only some of us are feeling, and there's hope that a lot more will be feeling it sooner than later. And that's the ninth wave. And so where did this all come from? Let's just get, of course, there are new listeners all the time, and they don't know why you know what you know.
Yeah, well, the backbone of all of this is the ancient Mayan calendar system. Because to the ancient Maya, time really, as you mentioned, it really has patterns. And much of their intellectual activities was directed into understanding these patterns of time. What exactly was it that shaped different eras, giving them the different eras different characteristics? That's really what much of the Maya inquiry into time was about. And they left behind not only the information about the various shift points in the evolution of time, but also they gave us a number of symbols. These symbols could be deities, it could be animals, it could be several other things that told us something about what the qualities of the different eras. And that's really what the starting point for me with this kind of work, and it goes back to people that also prepared the ground for it. But the realization came in the early 90s, really, that these symbols and these shift points that the Maya had described actually in significant regards matched what we know about the actual course of history. And that's the starting point of this work. Now, in this particular book, which has the subtitle of Quantum Physics, Holographic Evolution, and the Destiny of Humanity, this ancient knowledge is sort of transformed into a more modern language, which is the language of quantum physics, which talks about waves, and that everything everything really in our environment is the reality is composed of waves. And we think mostly about light waves and maybe sound waves and so forth. But in order for us to get a clear picture of the evolution of the universe, we need to add the creation waves, which is really what the Maya were interested in. And just to give you an idea of how these are, the ancient Mayan calendar and the modern quantum physics are two different languages for the same thing, you might say that they had a divinity that they called the plumed serpent, which was their main deity. And the several cities in today's Mexico, ruined cities that are remains from this culture, they are actually devoted entirely to this particular divinity of the plumed serpent. And the plumed serpent, as we translate it into modern language, simply means one of these creation waves. It's the particular, the sixth of the creation waves, which in the ideas or the cosmology of the ancient peoples of Mexico, this was the bringer of civilization. And so this illustrates how a wave, a creation wave, actually can change the quality of time, and so that there are times that are bringing civilization and there are others that are much more of a challenge for maintaining civilization. But it's really the same thing. You know, the ancient people talked about big serpents as being creator gods, and we talk about a universe of waves, of quantum physics. It's the different languages for the same thing.
Well, the other point is the manifestation of what those waves create. And that's where we get into quantum physics, where our consciousness is present, and it's our behavior, it's the patterns that influence our behavior that brings it all to life. Otherwise, these waves are meaningless. But we give them
yes.
civilization and the patterns of civilization that are mapped out by the Mayans in a way that makes total sense with our history.
Yeah, that's the case, yeah.
Right, and so using these patterns, we get to define ourselves in our current circumstances, and we're in quite a time right now, because there are a number of waves that are either going into, let's say going into night, but some go frequently from day to night, and within each wave, there are day and night periods. We're in the ninth wave, and right now we just started, I guess, a couple of weeks coming up of being in the night of the ninth wave.
It's today, actually. It's actually, yesterday was the day in the ninth wave, and now we're starting on an 18 common day long night.
Right. And so maybe it's a good time just to sit back and celebrate the holidays.
Yeah, let's see. This will 18 days from now, 13/31. This will take us to the new year. Yeah.
Right. And then we have an opportunity in the first couple of weeks of the new year to be more in the day of the ninth wave. But we have to understand what that means, you know, because we're all used to the sixth wave, and even the seventh and eighth waves that have been very dominant in our culture.
Yeah.
And it's the sixth wave, it's the end of the sixth wave that is the most meaningful, because that ended about 5 years ago.
Yes.
And so we're in, and the sixth wave is the society we've been living in, which started some thousands of years ago. So this is a long wave. It took a long time for it to get to its night period, which we are now in. But during the day, that's when civilizations actually, the modern civilizations, created themselves.
Yes.
And that's when the rational mind came in.
Yes.
Now the thing about these waves is that the even waves, the fourth, sixth, and eighth waves, have inequality. They create,
yes,
trouble between, you know, the highs and the lows of our society, and also they give religion its good and evil. There's so much of harshness in this wave.
Yeah.
And yet the odd waves have equality to them. And so the fifth, seventh, and ninth waves are waves that have really fostered healthy communities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we're in the best of those odd number waves, the ninth, but it's a long one, and it's going to take time for it to catch on. It's not that it's long in its periodicity, because it goes from day to night very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
But we're caught in the night of the sixth wave of society not knowing itself in its normal hierarchical way anymore, that the nation states that were created from that are losing their power and dissolving in ways that are, you know, it's like sand slipping through our fingers. And we see in our government that it doesn't make sense. Things don't make sense anymore. And so many ways. Yes.
Yeah, it's become a time, you know, when people really don't, because of this shift, I would like to say, especially in the sixth wave, going from a day to the night, where we used to have some kind of a concept of like in government, that it should be rationally worked out, so to speak, that it should be based on rationality. And it is in the nature of this shift tonight that the rational mind loses much of its power. And I think we see this very, very dramatically in all the in the American politics, not only in the United States. It's really a Western world phenomenon, but it's really this whole idea of rationality seems not to be the guiding principle anymore. And it's not a joke. It really is. Because of the shift, people have a hard time discerning what is truth, and all the fake news comes in and it becomes almost like an accepted thing, and lying becomes an accepting thing, because there's so much uncertainty at this point in time as to what really is truth. And that has to do with the fact that on this particular level, which is a crucial level of evolution, that the rational mind has been weakened, and it's really part of these waves, and our task is really to adapt to these kind of changes in the most constructive way. Because we can't really, we can understand it. We can learn to understand it very well, but we can't really change the waves by themselves. What we can do, though, however, is to sort of learn the patterns and choose and discern and see really what may guide ourselves and humanity forward. And that, to some extent, that largely has to do with what particular waves is it that we're tuning into, that we're resonating with. It's, you know, what we do have a choice about is like, looking at a radio or a television, we have a choice about what channels we want to listen to. But we don't have a choice about what kind of programs that are broadcast in these different in these different waves. Our different
personalities and different consciousness will attune to certain waves.
Yeah.
And there are societies that, you know, there's the what's interesting is that Islam actually began during a nighttime period.
Yeah.
And so they're not attuned to the nation state and to the kind of thinking of the Western world, and so they have these, you know, this other opportunity now in the night to rediscover themselves, and that can be a very good thing. It's just that they also have people amongst them, terrorists amongst them, who represent actually the fourth wave.
yeah.
Because the fifth wave actually was a really good wave to have, because it helped the early societies before the sixth wave started to grow and to have peace. And then the sixth wave ended that.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, we do have an opportunity if we can learn as much about the seventh wave as possible, because the seventh wave hasn't stopped. It does go into its day and night, but it's quite frequent, and it's an opportunity for us to hold the fort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that might be the only thing, because the fifth wave actually, I noticed, has gone into night recently. And so we don't have the fifth wave to draw from that easily. And so now we're really, you know, and the eighth wave hasn't been very helpful. I mean, it in terms of it did create the digital revolution, but it also created all of this economic inequality.
Yeah.
And the eighth wave started in 1999.
Yeah.
And it's a very frequent wave. It's up and down, up and down, up and down. Very frequently.
Yeah. It changes every 360 days, not quite a year, but almost. That's where. Still, I think that is a wave that it brings some new aspect to the world. It tends to favor the feminine. And paradoxically, you might say, it also favors the emergence, what you mentioned, of the digital world and all that kind of thing, which really is created by a special aspect of the mind. All of these waves, and I think that's something that the listeners must know about. All of these waves are actually having an influence on the human mind. They emanate from the center of the universe, and then they are broadcast throughout the universe. And one of the places that they're absorbed by is the Earth. The Earth, they create sort of a global mind around the Earth, and then the human beings who are living on this particular Earth, we're in resonance with that global mind and the kind of a grid that is created on our planet through this wave, and through that we. Our minds will change. So whenever there's a change in these waves, our minds will change. And with that, our perception of reality will change. And as our perception of reality changes, we will start to create an external reality, a social reality, that is consistent with that perception that we have downloaded from these waves. And that's when that's how you really see that, that the mind changes, is in the way that the world that human beings are creating, that that changes with these right. different at these different trip points.
Right.
In,
we just look around. We look
yeah.
around and we see where we're at, and it looks very crazy right now, and that's because of these nights and days of different waves that are
yeah.
interfering, and we have to make sense of it. And
yeah.
and so, you know, the biggest thing, of course, is that the sixth wave went into night, and so the rational mind isn't strong enough now to maintain society the way we know it.
Yeah.
And so now we have to go into, really, into a ninth wave mentality, which is a great opportunity to
yeah.
give up the duality of our reality, to lessen the fear. That I think it's all about reducing fear, because
yeah.
it reduces the ego, because it reduces the sense of good and evil, and
yeah.
And all of a sudden we don't understand what we're afraid of.
yeah, that's right. You know, sometimes I've had that experience of suddenly not knowing what it was I was afraid of, but it was there. Yeah.
Right, and then when you don't know it, the fear diminishes. So the idea is to grasp the opportunity of a higher consciousness, of not needing to hold on to fear and to duality
mm-hmm.
in the form, the extreme forms that it has taken on this planet. And we're fed that. We're fed that by the media. We're fed that by religions, by, you know, all kinds of ways that
yeah.
want to pronounce what's good and bad and evil and strike fear in us, so that
yeah.
that we can be manipulated.
Yeah.
And the idea is to understand that it's all on the surface, and the reality is, and the future is really a deeper place of heart and soul, of the goddess, of, you know, the divine feminine, of love, and we have to find that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And that's the creator energy too. It's the oneness that we
yeah.
have to find. And what I love about this is that it opens the door to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also about living accordingly in all possible ways, and to make our life choices in accordance with this direction that this universe actually have.
Right.
I think that's an important aspect of understanding these waves, is
right.
that they
choices
have
we
a,
make.
It yeah, and that they have a direction. You know, sometimes people think of our reality, our social system, and so forth, as just having emerged through some kind of an accident or by random processes or something like that. And that's not at all the case. We're really subject to a big plan, and it's that plan that makes some you know, things meaningful to us and some things not, depending on to what extent they are consistent with the direction of to the universe that these different waves are providing. And
right.
And
everything is
that,
patterns. And
sorry?
You know, because I even look at the patterns of our
yeah.
astrology, our numerology, of our destiny cards, of our human
mm-hmm.
design. There are all these ways that we're born to be in a pattern of personality that we can't help. And so
yeah.
we're all living out patterns, and the more that we can understand not only our own patterns but the patterns of society, because that has its own astrology also. We're in the Aquarian age. What does that mean? You know, so there are so many ways to look at patterns that
mm-hmm.
help us know and make better choices and understand and really be able to strategize and be more rational about this craziness that's going on around us.
Yeah. there are patterns that you, as you say, and you can find it in different sources. But what is so important in dealing with this, though, is the kind of intention that we as individuals have for it is our intentions that determine with what waves that we are going to create resonance.
Right.
If we have an intention of maintaining duality in the world, then that's likely. Then we will resonate with certain waves and find ourselves in the processes that those waves are creating. But if we intend to create oneness, or if we intend oneness and to be part of a world of that, then we will. That's the prerequisite for developing resonance with the ninth wave, which will create a path for us that leads to this particular oneness. But the intentions that we have are crucial. Sort of the thing, the basic thing for where we end up in life, and also to a large extent where the world will end up, as based on the kind of intentions that the human collective have.
Right, and I think that a lot of the people listening to this are people who hold intentions that we can.
Yeah.
All agree about.
Yeah.
And so we're getting near the end of the show. How can people find out more? Certainly they can get your book, The Nine Waves of Creation.
Yes. I think that's really the best way to go into it and to see this particular book. I mean, then I have a website called kalleman.com. kalleman.com, there's a blog there where I also will. I have different articles, news articles, and
that's great.
But there are also articles about how to follow the ninth wave, which is available in the book. Yeah,
we have to close the show, so I'm really glad to be able to talk to you, and so glad that you've written this book.
Yeah.
So, Carl Kalleman, we're at the end of the show. I wish we could go on. Maybe we can do another show sometime soon.
Yep.
I really enjoy talking with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Sure. This is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.